Scripture today will be taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 to 30, parable of the bags of gold. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to the other 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold bought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For those who have will be given more, and they will have an abundance. As for those who do not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you bow with me for a moment, please? Gracious and holy God, we give you thanks for all that you've given to us. We give you thanks for, especially for the gift of the Scripture and the way you meet us and teach us there. Now we ask, once again, dear Holy Spirit, pour yourself out on us. Take the words of the Scripture which we share, the humble words that I will offer, and the thoughts of every single one of our hearts. Take them and inspire them. Breathe life into them. Make them come alive for us so that in them we might hear the word of God, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. So this is a very famous parable. This is a parable that if you've grown up in church, you've heard this a bunch of times. This parable is so famous that our whole idea of talents and individual talents comes from, it's rooted in centuries of interpreting this parable. And which also means that left to its own, it can be a story that can be pretty removed from what it is that Jesus is actually trying to teach us here. And that's because this parable depends on the other two. It depends on the other two parables that we find in what we now call chapter 25. The parable of the bridesmaids, this parable, and the parable of the sheep and the goats. Now, that shouldn't be a surprise to us. There's lots of things that depend on each other, but before we can really make the most sense of them. For instance, Luke.
your father.
Doesn't make any sense outside the context of the other two Star Wars movies. Or if you play baseball, I played a lot of church league softball, slow pitch. And so one of the things that you know is that the foul ball rule, that if you hit a foul ball, it's a strike until you get up to two strikes. And then if you hit a foul ball, then it's nothing unless somebody catches the ball and then it's an out. See, that rule doesn't make nearly as much sense until you understand some of the other rules. What's fair territory, what's foul. You have to know about strikes and balls. You have to know what a strikeout is, right? There's all these things that you have to know. But once you know all of those things in context, then you begin to think about, so is now a time for me to foul the ball off? Or is now a time to make sure that I don't? And understanding that rule in the context of the rest of the game makes that make a whole lot more sense. This parable depends on the other two. And so it starts out it is like, the kingdom of heaven is like, a man is going on a journey. Right? And he gathers these three servants together and gives them. One guy gets 5 talents, one guy gets 2 talents, one guy gets 1 talent, and they each go and do what they think is the best thing they should do with it. So the guy who has 5 talents goes and trades with it and makes 5 more. The guy who has 2 talents goes, trades with it, and makes 2 more. And the guy who has 1, the servant with 1 talent, took his blessing and buried it. He buried it. He dug a hole, stuck it in, covered it up. Now, he did that because he was afraid. Now, being afraid is not always a bad thing, right? Fear is an emotion that God created us to have. There are times for us to be afraid. There are things we should be afraid of. For instance, we should be afraid of jumping off a 2-story building. We should be afraid of sticking a fork in the outlet. We should be afraid of jumping out in front of a passing bus. Right? There are things that we should be afraid of, and our fear should keep us from just doing those things willy-nilly. But there are times when our fear is unfounded. There's no need to be afraid of jumping off a 2-story roof when you're standing in your parking lot. There are times when we're afraid of things, the monster in my closet. We're afraid. We get paralyzed. Or we strike out. But our fear is unfounded. The fellow who buried his talent, his fear was unfounded because he didn't know the master. He didn't know the master. I mean, look how he greets him. Lord, I knew that you were a harsh guy and that you reap where you don't sow and you gather in harvest where you didn't plant. Are you kidding me? The guy had just given him a talent. Now, a talent equals about 6,000 denarii. And so a denarii is a fair day's wage. Now, if you figure that this guy worked every day except holy days, the Sabbath, Passover, that kind of thing, then a talent represents between 19 and 20 years worth of wages. And it's this master that the guy says, you're a harsh man, and you take where you haven't planted. You gather up what you didn't sow. Really? This is the master that you thought was holding out on you. This master who gives you over 19 years worth of salary, of wages. This is the guy that you think is holding out on you? A lot like the serpent talking to Adam and Eve in the garden. You know that story. What did God say would happen when you eat the fruit? He said that we would die. You won't die. Are you kidding me? No. What'll happen is that you'll know the difference between good and evil, and you'll be like God. God's holding out on you. That's why God doesn't want you to eat that. The guy buries the blessing that he'd received in a hole because he doesn't know who the master really is. He has this completely wrong picture. His fear is completely unfounded. In fact, the master points out that he's obviously mistaken, that he really doesn't get it. In fact, that his fear has made him completely irrational. Look, buddy, if that's who you really thought I was, then at least you would have taken that talent and put it in the bank and gotten me interest. He was living on a complete misunderstanding of who the master was. And that's a word of caution to us. When we live our lives based on a misunderstanding of who God is, then we live lives that end in outer darkness. We live lives that end up in that place where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. When we live our lives based on who God isn't, instead of living our lives based on who God is, we end up in disaster. C.S. Lewis famously said it this way: hell is when God looks at us and says, okay, your will be done. Now, this leaves us one last question. At least one more question. What does living our lives faithfully, witnessing to who God really is, witnessing to what the kingdom of God is really about, what the kingdom of heaven really looks like, what does that kind of life look like? The first parable that Jesus tells in this part of Matthew says that we need to be ready. This parable tells us that we've been blessed to be a blessing. As we live lives that reflect the God who has blessed us. But what do we need to do? Well, we'll get more detail on that next week as we look at the third and final parable that Jesus teaches before the plot to arrest him begins to materialize. Don't let fear, unfounded fear, paralyze you or lead you away from who God really is. Grace to you and peace. Amen.